You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a sensational Sunday night. Unless you were rooting for the home team by the bayou, wait till you see how this game ended. Meanwhile, speaking of endings, time running out on Lamar and the Ravens. He was back on Twitter yesterday. What does it all mean as we kick off week one? Plus, Jerry says he's rolling the dice. What will he do if it comes up snake eyes again early this year? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you on this Labor Day. We are Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, and we are ready to roll on a day where it is going to move. Fowler's here with news. Heather's here with headlines. Sacho's here with insight. And that's not all. Paul Feinbaum is up early with us this morning. Mike Tannenbaum is up early with us this morning. Let's roll. Coming off of an unbelievable Sunday night college football game, Brian Kelly making his debut, head coach of LSU, taking on Florida State in the Superdome. Picking up third quarter, Sacho. Florida State's up a touchdown. We got a touchdown again, and we got a targeting.
Yeah, look at the grab, one-handed grab for the touchdown, but targeting. Forcible contact to the helmet, he'd be ejected.
Yeah, Allie Gay with a hit. Wilson with a great one-handed catch. You see the hit on the helmet. Florida State in front by a score of 17-3. Fourth quarter, just over 4 minutes left. LSU not going away. Down two touchdowns, but this is Jahrae Jenkins.
Jahrae Jenkins, that's his second touchdown. He'd have two touchdowns today. Make it a game.
It's a seven-point game, so LSU needs a stop and a score. They get the stop, but hold everything. Malik Nabers has already muffed one punt, Sacho.
Two muff punts on the night. Florida State looks like they've taken complete control. 2 minutes left. The game looks like it's over.
That's right, because a field goal will ice it. The one thing you can't do is this.
It's fumble the ball. Hand it off. Take a knee. Kick the field goal. Do something, anything but fumble.
So they're 99 yards away from a chance at a tie or a win. Tigers down 7, 25 seconds to go. This is why you get Daniels.
This is why Jaden Daniels won the starting spot. Transfer from ASU with his legs. 16 rushes, 114 yards. He's the quarterback.
And he moves the chains later in the drive. 10 seconds to go. First and 10 at the 19. It's Daniels. It's Mason Taylor. He's got to get out of bounds.
He's got to get out of bounds. You have no timeouts. Get the first down. Get out of bounds. Does he?
He doesn't, as it turns out. Look, the knee is down. Take another look. But with 1 second left, the clock stops on the first down. So 1 second remaining. Florida State used a timeout to set up the defense. It's Daniels. It's Jenkins. It's a touchdown. Tigers love it. Kelly says, are we going for two in the win? No, we're not. We're going to kick the extra point to tie it with no time remaining. Here's Florida State Radio with the call.
Snap, spot, blocked.
Yeah!
It's no good.
No!
It's blocked. Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win.
Can you believe it? It's Shaheem Brown with the block. Devastation for Brian Kelly and LSU.
Look, I'm not here to, you know, say we take any solace in a loss. That's not why I'm here at LSU to learn about great lessons in losses. But the reality of it is we've got some learning to do. We've got to coach better and we've got to play better.
All right, let's talk about what they need to do better, and I will start with the mouth of the SEC himself, Paul Feinbaum. I'm not even sure I understood what Coach Kelly was talking about there. No one thought he went to LSU to learn lessons. What's your number one takeaway from last night?
LSU paid $10 million for that, Greeny. That was my takeaway at midnight last night, because it makes perfect sense to go for two. He just went 99 yards. It was a perfect executed drive. And Florida State's defense is, forget, on its heels. I mean, they're on their back. And do you want to keep playing when you've played that poorly? No. And you don't want to put it in the hands of the special teams, because you've already had two muff punts. You've had a blocked field goal. Of course you go for two. I think it's the simplest call in the world, but Brian Kelly, being somewhat conservative, he immediately put up the one. Brian, you're not in the NFL. This is college football. Put the dagger in.
What did you think of it, Heather? Going for the two there. I have to admit, I agree with Paul. The way sometimes you have to judge these things based on the way the game is going, and he has all the momentum in the world moving right down the field. What did you think of the decision?
Well, I think whether you go for it or not, the bottom line is nobody at LSU should be surprised by this, Greeny, because anyone who paid attention to Brian Kelly last year, this was deja vu. When he was head coach at Notre Dame, he struggled against Florida State in the season opener the exact same way. Notre Dame was lucky to beat Florida State in an overtime last year. And guess what? In similar fashion, he blamed his players at halftime. So can they learn from those mistakes? We'll find out.
Yeah, it did not seem to have been his fault. What'd you think of the decision?
Yeah, I'm okay with going for one. You have the momentum, right? You have the momentum. You kick the extra point. Now, the issue is this. There was a field goal that was blocked earlier. And so if you know you have a porous line when it comes to blocking field goals, that's when the question lies. But still, you have the momentum. You kick the extra point. It's a, you know, 90% of the time, 95% of the time you're making that. Make the extra point. You have the momentum going in overtime. Obviously, this decision backfired.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, at the end of the day, maybe the decision not to go for the two, if you disagree with it, masks a lot of the other stuff. It didn't look so good last night. It's worth reminding everyone, this is not the championship LSU team from 2 years ago that he's taking over. It's a team with far lower expectations, but that's not a great start for them. Meanwhile, let's go around what was an unbelievable weekend. Heather, we've got headlines. Let's start with Georgia and Alabama. What did you think?
Greeny, I thought that those two teams did exactly what they were supposed to do. They dominated lesser competition, and these two teams are going to be in the college football playoff. Go ahead and pencil it in. One of the most impressive things was Stetson Bennett. He's the first Georgia player in the last 25 years to have an 80% completion percentage. Ugly ducks, okay?
Yeah, and when you say lesser competition, that's Oregon they're playing. That's supposed to be a game, I thought.
It was kind of not even close to a game. No, not even close. And then number two in the headlines was Ohio State. To me, do not give up on these guys. They're still one of the top four teams in the country. Defensively, they held them to 0 points and 72 total yards in the second half. C.J. Stroud, 8 of 9 completions. When they needed to be on, they were on in that fourth quarter. And then let's go to the Irish side of things, because I'm not counting them out of the college football playoff race either, guys. I think Marcus Freeman deserves a lot of credit. I was in that stadium. LeBron James was there. 106,000 people. They go in there, and they did what they did defensively and had the lead in the first half. Are you kidding me? We're going to keep talking about those guys if they learn to finish these games.
Well, so when I made this point last week, Paul, and again, like most geniuses, I'm usually not fully appreciated until after my time, but this time I had it right immediately. There was such a thing as a moral victory for the Irish on Saturday night, and I thought they got it. What did you think?
I think they came close to it. I mean, Greeny, they did the most important thing, apparently, at Notre Dame these days, cover the spread. I mean, forget trying to win a game. Forget trying to win a national championship. Wake up the echoes and all that. They covered. Greeny, they played well. And I went with Heather. I'm very impressed with Marcus Freeman. I think their climb to the national championship or the Final Four is pretty steep, about like trying to climb Mount Everest on a snowy day. However, there is a chance right now. Had they been blown out, there wouldn't have been. But and they have the schedule. They have Clemson, and they have USC, which suddenly is everyone's darling after one win over a nobody.
Over Rice. So let's get into this for a second here, because if Ohio State's offense, Sacho, winds up being this season what we think it's going to be, which is to say, if they do score 50 points a game every week or most weeks after this, then this Notre Dame game, when it's all said and done, I think might wind up looking pretty good for them.
It absolutely will. Ohio State was the number one offense last year in points and in total yards. They're going to be most likely the number one offense again this year. Notre Dame, that looked like an NFL defense. I mean, they were playing sound football. That's what you do. You talk about Patrick Mahomes have two high safeties. Like, they made Ohio State work for every single thing that they got. You saw a change of game plan towards the second half. A lot more running, a lot more stretch plays. And so for me, Notre Dame really came out. Yes, they lost, but we're not going to forget about them. They have an opportunity in the middle of the season. We talked about Clemson, North Carolina, and at the end of the season with USC to still make a playoff run.
All right, everybody stay close, because we have a lot more to do on this college opening weekend here, including, Paul, I'm going to throw a couple of thoughts at you, and we'll see if any of them make you want to call me an idiot on this Labor Day morning. We'll do that. But bear in mind, we are 3 days away from the start of the National Football League season, which kicks off on Thursday night. With Matthew Stafford, elbows okay, by the way, and the defending Super Bowl champs hosting the favorites to win this year's Super Bowl, Josh Allen and the Bills. So you can't ask for more from an NFL kickoff Thursday. Sunday night, we've got the marquee matchup. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys hosting Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Both teams, big-time question marks on their offensive lines. It's a fascinating game. Monday night on ESPN, our first Monday night game will be Russell Wilson's first game back in Seattle as a Bronco, just signing the massive five-year extension with Denver. And, of course, the biggest question of week one, as Lamar Jackson gets ready to face the Jets on Sunday, will he get a new deal from Baltimore between now and then, which he has established as his own personal deadline? Mike Tannenbaum is with us, but Jeremy Fowler, my insider extraordinaire, I'm starting with you. We're 6 days from kickoff. Are we any closer to Lamar having a deal?
Yeah, he's about to take the practice field today, and they're still not closer to a deal. I'm checking on this morning. The people I'm talking to remain skeptical that something is going to get done. Guaranteed money remains a sticking point. This is set up right now for a two-year standoff, potentially, with the franchise tag in play next year.
Let's make sure I'm clear on what you're saying. You're saying that if this doesn't get done in the next 6 days, we are very likely not only looking at this year, but maybe next year as well for Lamar and the Ravens doing this dance.
Yeah, no doubt, because we're looking at Sunday. Lamar Jackson himself has said, I want a deal. If we're going to do it, it needs to be by week one. Now, that doesn't preclude the Ravens from trying in season. They've done other contracts in the past. But right now, there's not much momentum before Sunday to get this done.
Explain that to us, Mike T. Why is it if you're the team that you want to make sure? It's not just Lamar saying this, but the team also wants this business piece of it done by Sunday. Why?
Greeny, you don't want a distraction, especially you're talking about your franchise quarterback who represents himself. So instead of worrying about cap numbers and cash flow and guarantees, you want him to be worried about your net New York Jets in terms of that's their opening day opponent. So it becomes a massive distraction. Jeremy's right. There is a deadline. It's really in both sides' best interest, Green, to get this deal done, get certainty for the Ravens for the next 5-7 years, whatever it may be, and give Lamar Jackson the guarantee that he is richly deserves. And if it doesn't get done, it becomes a distraction and you want to put it to the side.
Mike T, as a person who's been in those rooms where it happens, judging from all the things that we have seen, what is your read of the tea leaves? Do you feel like they are going to get this done before Sunday?
No, because of the graphic we're looking at. Deshaun Watson at $230 million in the same division, who has had very well documented off-field issues, is a massive sticking point. When you talk to people around the league, Greeny, Lamar Jackson is saying, I'm a league MVP. I've been impeccable off the field. I'm not taking a nickel less in guaranteed money than $230 million. And according to a lot of people, that's why this deal isn't done. And I don't think it'll get done between now and Sunday.
Well, that's the complicated piece of this. The Deshaun Watson deal in Cleveland is either an outlier or it's a precedent. And I think if I'm Lamar, I'm saying, well, it can be both. It can be an outlier, but it's also a precedent. It's not my fault that they went and did this deal. Yeah, either way, Sacho, I want to ask you this from a player's perspective, because we've talked about this as sort of a theoretical possibility, but this is now the reality. Yeah. He is 6 days away from starting a season, from setting foot on that field and going in harm's way without the contract extension. Are we okay with that?
We're definitely okay with that. And that Deshaun Watson contract has to be the precedent. Every other contract has been the precedent. And so for me, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm telling you what I want. I want this guarantee, and you got to get there, period. I'm willing to play. If you want to put me on a franchise tag later, I'm willing to do that. You want to do it again? I can do that. We saw Kirk Cousins do it. We've seen this happen before. And so I'm totally okay with Lamar Jackson playing this season without a contract. It's up to the Baltimore Ravens to say, hey, we'll give you what you want because we believe in who you are as our leader and as our future of our franchise.
I think he should take the first week off to consider. I really do. I strongly believe he should take week one to just ponder. And again, I want nothing but the best for him. But week one, I think, is a little soon.
Week.
I think that the Jet game, they don't need him. I think he needs to just take this time away, go think this thing through, and then come back after week one. That, to me, I think, is that's just my unsolicited advice. All right, as we get this thing rolling on this Labor Day edition of Get Up, Jerry says he's rolling the dice. But what's he going to do if it comes up snake eyes early? There's reason to think this could get ugly in Dallas, and I'll explain to you why. Plus, it's Tua time in Miami, but not everyone is convinced that he's on his way to a big year. What the Dolphins quarterback must show the world Sunday against New England. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Don't Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and in part by God of War Ragnarok, rated M for mature. All right, more from the college football weekend. Let's run through something awesome, something awful, and something awkward. Sacha, we'll start with you. Give me something awesome.
Will Anderson Jr.'s hit on this Utah State running back was awesome. This is why you talk about this guy being in the Heisman contention. He's going to affect the game. Not just quarterbacks should be afraid of him. They nickname him the Terminator for a reason. He terminates everything in the backfield. Will Anderson Jr., that was awesome.
He's the best player in the country. Paul, give me something awful from the weekend.
Did you see this, Greeny, on Friday night? How about Virginia Tech losing to Old Dominion, first game for Brent Pry? Now, please, I have a question. They've lost to Old Dominion before. Why are they playing at Old Dominion? You're a big-time program. You've won – well, you've competed for national championships. You haven't won one under Frank Beamer. You have no business going on the road, and you certainly have no business losing.
And then finally, Heather, give me something awkward.
I think Mac Brown just gave it to you there. I don't know, guys. The awkward is the dancing, but it's also the fact that he's doing this after he gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter and barely won the game. It's kind of like a wedding thing. I don't know. That was awkward.
I'll say this, too. He stole all my moves. And those are all my dance moves that Mac Brown is. Just get him on the phone. I need to talk to him about that. All right, well, have much more college football as we continue. But let me jump back to the NFL here, because we touched on the Cowboys and the Buccaneers on Sunday night. They kick off their season with Dallas in a 26-year Super Bowl drought. But Jerry Jones is hoping that some of the risks that he has taken will end that drought. Give a listen.
No one would deny that I'm a risk taker. No one. I take risk, and I do it every day in my life. And so there's a proper time to take some risk. We have taken them, and we will take them. I hope that some of the risks that I take in the future will result in a change from where we've been, and that's not getting to the Super Bowl. But I do that every day in my life.
He genuinely is so interesting. I mean, there's it's something about...
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Me neither. I don't even know what the question was, and I'm not sure I understand the answer, and yet I just wanted to hear more. That said, Mike T, I think I can use the words he used to phrase a question, which is, has he taken the right risks this year for this team to do what it hasn't in so long?
No, and it's going to cost them a trip to get back to the Super Bowl. And specifically, there were two risks he didn't take. One was Amari Cooper at $20 million a year. That's a bargain in 2022 dollars. He's a frontline number one wide receiver at $20 million a year. He will play well for the Cleveland Browns this year. And boy, would the Cowboys just be, what a great fit right now. They're desperate for another guy. He's ideal. He's been there. And it's shocking that they didn't keep him at $20 million. And then the other risk, Lael Collins, $7 million a year, goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. They knew that Tyron Smith has had massive durability issues. Now, to their credit, they did draft Tyler Smith in the first round. But think about today, Greeny, if they had both Tyler Smith and Lael Collins. So this is a team that has taken risks, as Jerry Jones told us. But this year, they didn't take the right ones, and it's cost them a frontline wide receiver and a frontline right tackle.
And so I want to talk about what might be at stake for this team early in the season. And if we can, Cindy, let's put up their first six games. Because Jeremy Fowler, we talk a lot about the coach's situation there, right? And how stable is Mike McCarthy? Well, look at that early season schedule. Tampa and Cincinnati is brutal. Then Giants, Commanders, in theory, they should win those. But then they got the Super Bowl champs, the Rams. And then they go to the Eagles, which is expected to be their primary competition. If they come out of that 2-4, which they easily could, and one of the losses is against the Eagles, so they are falling behind in the division. Where are we going to be in the Mike McCarthy conversation then?
Yeah, Greeny, the heat would intensify on Mike McCarthy. There is no doubt on that. Now, when I talk to the Cowboys, they tell me we're all in on Mike McCarthy. We're prepared to be patient with Mike McCarthy, but the outside noise would be incredible at that point, especially if they fall to 2-4, 0-3, whatever it is, with the Philadelphia Eagles. They have an easier schedule. They're coming on. They might have even a better roster right now.
The Eagles have a startlingly easy schedule to start the season, and the Cowboys have a very difficult one to start the season. So, Sacho, I mean, you know that situation. You know them well. You grew up there, all the rest of that. Like, what's that going to sound like if the Cowboys, we get to the middle of October and they're in trouble?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, look at the three of the first five games. Talk about the Buccaneers, talk about the Bengals in the Super Bowl, the Rams in the Super Bowl. If you struggle early and Tyler Smith at left tackle struggles early, there's going to be a lot of questions and concerns. There are already questions and concerns in Dallas, specifically with the offense. Who's going to be the number two receiver? Will Torbert step up? It could get ugly in Dallas early, specifically with the early season schedule. You talk, back season, I get it. We'll finish it strong. It doesn't matter if you don't start strong.
I think that Eagles game, circle that game at the bottom of your screen there, at the Cowboys at Eagles, because the Eagles schedule, early season schedule, we never know how these things are going to play out. But the Cowboys could easily be 2-3 going into that game. The Eagles should be better than that. If Philly wins that game at home, I could see this thing getting loud. So, all kidding. Well, let me go to Tannenbaum quickly on this. Do you see a scenario where if they're 2-4 coming out of that game and they lose to the Eagles, that we could see a coaching change that early in a season?
I don't think so, Greeny. For all the risks that Jerry Jones takes, he's actually pretty conservative at the head coaching analysis in terms of when he pulls the trigger or how long. Jason Garrett, Wade Phillips, there's been a number of coaches over the years that there was a lot of speculation that he'd make a move sooner. So I think you're right. I think Philadelphia should get off to a better start given their schedules and not having Michael Gallup amongst others for the Cowboys. But I just don't think Jerry Jones pulls the trigger that soon in this season.
Yeah, I mean, and let's hope. Go ahead, Jeremy, quick thought.
Well, no, to Mike's point, they're risk averse, even with the roster too. Like, this is not a reactionary splash move team anymore. They draft and develop players. And you know what? I kind of like it. They've won double digit win seasons in four of the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Pretty good, honestly. No,
Jerry Jones has gotten a lot more right than he's gotten wrong in recent years. But it hasn't added up to what he really wants and their fans really want. Let's see where it goes early in the season. Again, their early season schedule is brutal. As we continue, Stephon Diggs, bold statements about his quarterback, Josh Allen. Is his the best in the sport? Is it Super Bowl or bust in Buffalo? Plus, back to the college weekend. Georgia and Bama, huge wins over the weekend. Are they again on an SEC and national championship collision course? Paul answers that question and more. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hey, Sacho and Heather, how about this? Florida's win over Utah and Anthony Richardson. Sacho, how do we describe this move?
I don't know how he got out of this sack. I mean, I thought the ball was gone. I was looking in the end zone, one of those things you throw the ball, you look around, and then perfect. That's perfect. That's how you describe it.
Heather,
perfect.
He was something, right?
Hey, we're going to be talking about him on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ajo knows that, right? Oh, yeah. Amazing. Good character, too.
Mike T already talking about him as a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft. I don't think even Paul Feinbaum would call me an idiot for suggesting that after Florida's big win. With that thought in mind, let's see if I can throw a couple of other thoughts at my friend Mr. Feinbaum and see if he wants to call me an idiot. It's been a long time since we've done this bit. All right, Paul, I spent a lot of the weekend watching these games. Let's start with this. Call me an idiot, but no contender at the end is going to have a better loss than Notre Dame had on Saturday night against Ohio State. So if it comes down to that, I still think the Irish get in.
Those 4 years in Chicago are getting the better of you, Greeny. You are an idiot for this reason. Think ahead about 13 weeks. There's an Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game. The loser of that is still going to the playoffs, and that, my friend, will have a better – that team will have a better loss than what we saw on Saturday night.
All right, perhaps. We'll see. Let's see if that game is close as this one was. That's what I liked about this. On the road, true road game, opening season, we'll see. All right, next stop. Call me an idiot, but the Pac-12 might just as well go home. After the game that Utah lost the other night, after the way that Oregon lost the other night, and the only good team they have is USC, and we in the Big Ten claim them already. So as far as I'm concerned, it's already over for the Pac-12. What do you think?
I would like to call you an idiot, but I think Heather will call you an idiot. I won't, because you are correct. Heather will disagree. I'm certain of that. But it's over. I know SC is hanging out there, and you can argue that Utah has a path. They don't. Say a prayer for the Pac-12. Once again, first weekend of the season, it's over.
All right, fair enough. And then here's my third one, and you've already kind of touched on this. But call me an idiot, but it might as well just put Bama and Georgia in the Final Four right now. And we can figure out all the rest of it if you want. But Georgia was supposed to be diminished after all the players that they lost. They beat Oregon 100-0. Are you kidding? Just put the two of them in the playoff right now.
Greeny, do you know how painful it is to almost not call you an idiot at all? I found the technicality on your first question, and that's the only reason I was able to do it. No, you're right. These two are going to be in the playoffs, and even Mike Greenberg can get that right.
But look, I mean, they just look unbelievably good. And let me get bring Sacho and Heather in here, because I want to talk about this for a minute. I mean, the question is pretty simple. We talked a lot about Ohio State. We talked a lot about a few other teams. But at the end of the day, right this minute, are we right back where we were at the end last year, Heather? Are Alabama and Georgia the two best teams in the country?
I'm going to say there's wiggle room for Ohio State. Hold on a minute, because when you look at what Ohio State did, In the fourth quarter, C.J. Stroud completed 9 of 10 passes. Grind it out, run the ball, strong defense. They found a different way to win.
Hold on. I need to push back on this.
Okay.
Oregon is supposed to be a good team. That is, in theory, a neutral site game. I get it. Atlanta is not a neutral site for Georgia, but whatever. And that was never a game. I sat down to watch that, and I had to go find something else to do at the end of the first quarter because it was so completely non-competitive. I mean, Ohio State had a battle on their hands all night long. I know it's early in the season, yep. But boy, Georgia looked better to me.
Georgia looked outstanding, but nobody in the country had a better win than Ohio State. They played a top five team. Ducks were ugly. Oregon.
Well, again, so I get maybe some of the rankings aren't what they're supposed to be. But, you know, Sacho, it was Mr. Feinbaum here who told me Notre Dame was overranked at number five. Oregon is supposed to be a top 11 team in the country, and Georgia just laid waste to them. I was very impressed.
Well, Mr. Feinbaum was very wrong, as we all know. Maybe we can call him an idiot. But no. what I will say is this. Ohio State did all of that without their number one receiver. Jackson Smith and Jigba went down early in the game. He tried to come back, but he was out. So that's number one. And then number two, their defense. Ohio State's defense looked really, really, really good. And so you want to put them in that caliber of top two or three teams. They may be able to stop a team like Alabama or stop a team like Georgia with their excellent defense.
Well, let me give you another one here then, Paul. I think that we should. Do you have Archie Griffin's phone number? Because if so, give him a call and tell him he's going to have to make room in his club of one. He is the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner. Just send the trophy to Bryce Young. He's going to win it again. He looks even better this year, Paul. What do you think?
Thank you, Greeny. You're an idiot. Finally, I got to say it with full-throated fervor. I mean, that you cannot make that statement. A year ago today, we all sat on this stage, and we all gave the trophy to Alabama to win the national championship. I know I like to overreact and over-exaggerate sometimes, but you can't say that on Labor Day because so many things can happen. And I still think Bryce Young has competition on his own team from two different players. And don't forget Stroud. He was great in the fourth quarter, and he will be great again. He's a major competitor.
What do you think, Heather? Heisman Trophy right now favorite at this moment. Is it Young? Is it Stroud? Is it somebody else?
Well, it flipped. It's Young right this second, and then it's Stroud. But to me, personally, it's Will Anderson Jr. You talked about that hit. I mean, kapow, right? I don't want to be the other guy on the side of that. It's, to me, he's the one who we should be talking about.
And the way he can affect the game, you saw Utah State's offensive game plan. They were getting the ball out quick. They're running a lot of zone read. Will Anderson said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to line up tighter. I know the play you're going to run. I'm going to destroy this play before it even gets started. So that's the thing that makes him different. It's not just, okay, drop back, pass, and get a sack. No. He affects games even when people try to take him out of games.
Well, those three guys are probably the first three picks in the draft, too, right? In some order, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Anderson Jr. are probably the first three picks in the draft. In the meantime, I want everyone to get – if just in case you're wondering what it's like to play for Nick Saban, I just want you to see this video, okay? So here's Bryce Young, right? They're having a good night. He's celebrating. He's all excited. Everything is good. Then he sees his coach. Sacho, what is that?
This was awesome. I mean, so he just got his second touchdown of the game. They're up 17-0. Does his little celly with his homeboy. Nope, no more celebrating. Nick Saban, coach, I got him on the ankle wrap. Yeah, I got it. 100%. No more celebrating, coach. I got you. We're good.
Yeah, because you know that Nick is mad about something.
And the funny thing is, the next time he scored a touchdown, the celly was a whole lot less demonstrative. It was a very much like, let me go to Coach Saban first.
No doubt. All right, tonight we got more college football for you. Second of the Chick-fil-A kickoff games in Atlanta. This one's on ESPN in the app. It's Dabo Swinney and number 4 Clemson taking on Georgia Tech. It's 8 Eastern. Coverage starts with College Football Countdown, 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN. All right, we are officially 3 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. Bills, Rams with a huge one on Thursday night. Rams will be raising their Super Bowl banner while Josh Allen and company hope to spoil the party. Here's Bills receiver Stephon Diggs speaking highly of his own QB.
Josh Allen, in my opinion, is the best quarterback in the league. You know, I'm not just saying that just because he's my quarterback. You've seen him have explosive games, crazy games. You've seen him run. You've seen him jump over corners, run over DBs, challenge linebackers, stiff arm D linemen. I feel like he's a quarterback that provides the complete package, and he can throw the ball, like he can throw the hell out of the ball. He's a leader.
Stephon Diggs on there with my guy McAfee and company. Okay, so he's saying Josh Allen is the best quarterback. Yep. You're talking to a lot of people whose opinions matter. What are they saying?
Yes, every preseason I poll league personnel folks, scouts and execs, who's going to win the MVP, right? You get a little Patrick Mahomes, you get some Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, but this year Josh Allen is largely expected to win. He's the favorite. They believe he's going to have a massive year, not only passing but running the ball. And I'm told the Bills also love that he's taken ownership of new OC Ken Dorsey's system. They believe Allen's at his best when he's changing things at the line of scrimmage, changing play calls, audibles, whatever needed to be. So they're all in on him more than ever.
All right, so Josh Allen, number one according to his receiver, number one according to the GMs. Let's put it a different way. Mike Tannenbaum, you were a GM. If you were starting a league right now, you're starting a team in a league, you could have any quarterback to start your team with. Is Josh Allen the guy you started with, or is it Justin Herbert Tannenbaum? Which one are you starting your team with?
You just nailed it. I'm going with Justin Herbert Tannenbaum for this reason. If there's a vulnerability in Josh Allen's game, he was hit 201 times a year ago, Greeny, which was the most in the NFL. Justin Herbert has the ability to be a little bit more elusive, and that elusiveness over Josh Allen will add to longevity to Justin Herbert's career. We saw Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career, Greeny. It ended quickly for him. And Josh Allen has to learn how to avoid those bigger hits so he doesn't have the same fate. And you look at guys like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers who are better at it. And that would be my one concern between Josh Allen and, let's say, Justin Herbert, who to me has that elusiveness.
All right, to be clear, I mean, Tannenbaum, he loves Justin Herbert so much, and he just took his beloved daughter off to college. There's room in the house right now. So as far as I'm concerned, he's adopted Justin Herbert now, and I've changed his last name. It's a hyphen. It's Justin Herbert Tannenbaum. Are you going Herbert Tannenbaum, or are you going Allen?
I would go Herbert Tannenbaum as well.
But you're going Justin Herbert over Josh Allen right now.
Yeah, I would go. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan, and this one kind of goes back and forth for me. But I love Justin Herbert. Young in the NFL. Last year, he's second in the NFL in passing yards, over 5,000 yards. And it's also his coach, right? Brandon Staley, former quarterback. Yes, we talk about his defensive mind. But this guy's got a rocket for an arm. His coach believes in the vision. And Ken Dorsey, we're hoping that Josh Allen, I think he's going to be better. We all think he's going to be better. But there's a new offensive coordinator. And so will he be significantly better? Will there be a lot of change in his game? You could go either way. I lean towards Justin.
But hold on one second. Before we go on to other, can I just go through my notes here? Did I miss something? Did Patrick Mahomes retire? I mean, I'm sorry. It was a busy weekend. Patrick Mahomes is not the answer to this question
anymore?
Well,
that's the thing about the people we're talking about. Like, any one of these quarterbacks can win you a Super Bowl.
Right.
Each and every one of them. And you throw in Lamar Jackson into that list. It's almost like to each his own, right? To each their own. Who do you want to pick? Josh Allen is an easy pick for a lot of people. So is Patrick Mahomes. I just lean towards Herbert.
Mahomes is my pick.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You're asking me who I think the MVP is.
I understand Tannenbaum. I mean, he's over there. He's trying to file adoption papers. I understand that how he feels about Justin Herbert. Okay, Mahomes, a week ago, Mahomes was the greatest quarterback of all time. Now maybe he's the third best in the league. Things change fast around here. As we continue, he's been showered with praise by his new star receiver. But what happens if Tua gets off to a slow start in Miami? We'll answer that question right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Baseball yesterday, Yankees desperately need a win. That means they need Aaron Judge to continue to carry them like nobody's business. And there he is leading off the top of the first. That's a 450-foot home run off a sinker from Sean Armstrong that didn't sink. 53rd of the year for Judge is a career high. Yanks lead 1-0. Top of two, same score. Oh, we're up and in. Armstrong up and in on Josh Donaldson, who doesn't like it, and the benches would clear. Donaldson continuing to yap as he makes his way down to first base. Eventually, cooler heads would prevail. Let's go bottom nine. Yanks up 2-0. Runners at third with one man out. Clay Holmes needs to close this thing out. That's Francisco Mejia, line drive to left. David Peralta will score. It's a 2-1 game. Later in the inning, second and third, two men out. You tell me, is that a strike to Yandy Diaz? They call him out on a 102-mile-an-hour pitch, low and outside. Diaz can't believe it. Yankees get the win they desperately need. And listen to this statistic. Aaron Judge scored all three of the Yankee runs in this series against Tampa
He's the first time that a Yankee has scored all the team's runs in a series of at least three games since Babe Ruth in 1929. Judge had more extra base hits than the rest of his team did in the series. He is carrying them as they stumble down the stretch all by himself. All right, let's go to week one of the NFL season, and let's go either or on some of the really interesting opening week matchups. Mike Tannenbaum, Tom Brady versus Dak Prescott. Who's going to have a better night?
I agree. This one's tough. I'm going to go with Dak because of his athleticism. We know both teams have O-lines that are beat up. And because of Dak's athleticism over Tom Brady, I'm giving him the slight edge. But, boy, I hate picking against Tom Brady.
And Dak played great week one against Tampa a year ago, you may recall. Jeremy Fowler, interesting matchup. Derek Carr versus Justin Herbert. Who's got the bigger week one?
I'm going to go Herbert in honor of my guy Mike T. Can't go wrong with this pick. And I'm going to go with the better offensive line. The Chargers have loaded up front. Herbert's going to be well protected. The Raiders have had issues on that line, especially on the right side. So even though Derek Carr is a sleepy MVP pick for me, I think it's going to take the Raiders a little bit of time under Josh McDaniels to get their footing.
All right, and then Sacho, an interesting opener in the AFC East. Who's going to have a bigger week one, Mac Jones or Tua?
I'm going to go with Tua on a better week one. So Tyreek Hill is a new offensive addition. Mike McDaniel, new head coach, new offensive mind. But on the other side, we don't know what the New England Patriots offense is going to look like with this new coordinator situation, right? Matt Patricia, we don't know what that's going to look like. So I'm going to go Tua for a better week one.
Okay, let's stop down on this one for a minute here because I like that it is finally week one for a variety of reasons, but one of them is so many things that we've talked about in the theoretical are actually happening now. So for all the Tyreek Hill podcast conversations and everything else, what are the Dolphins planning for this early season with Tua at their quarterback?
Yeah, they're planning for big things. They expect him to be a playoff caliber quarterback. Now, they know that there are some limitations. He can't throw the ball 80 yards like a Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. But I'm told they're really going to utilize that deep ball, that they're going to trust him to stretch the field vertically because him and Tyreek Hill have been working on it a ton in the preseason, off to the side, just the two of them working on it. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of a fireworks show than him just being a game manager.
Mike T, can he do it? I mean, I think that's really the question. I've never seen a quarterback have more of his throws scrutinized very specifically over the course of a summer than Tua has. But with that one there, what we just showed you, where Tyreek Hill clearly has to come back for the ball and then the one from practice and everything else, can he do it? Can he stretch the field with these lightning-fast receivers, Mike T?
He can. He needs to do it consistently. He was 23rd in yards per pass attempt a year ago, so he has to consistently get the ball down the field accurately. And then Greeny, if that's number one, 1A is durability. Unfortunately for Tua, he was hurt in college. He's been hurt in the pros. If you want to be a franchise quarterback, you have to answer the bell for 17 games. So downfield accuracy and durability are the two questions he has to answer. He has all the weapons in the world, and hopefully for Miami, he does it this year.
All right, Sacho, crystal ball. Those are the questions. What are the answers? Can he throw it deep, and can he stay healthy?
Well, he can. I think he can on both. Even on throwing deep, interestingly enough, Tua was the most accurate quarterback when it came to balls 25 yards down the field or more. Now, he didn't do it very often, but he was the most accurate out of any quarterback in the NFL. And so he can throw the ball deep, but now he has more weapons to do it. And sometimes you say, man, he was 23rd in average yards. You know, it's not his decision. Right, you have a quarterback coach, an offensive head coach now who says, hey, now we're going to bring out all of your strengths. And now we're going to have a down-the-field passing attack as opposed to this RPO-based passing game. And so for me, you can't put that on Tua.
Tua's had a lot of nonsense, right? I mean, look, some things are excuses and some things are reasons. I mean, the coach just basically left after he got fired and suggested the owner was offering him money to lose games. We don't know the truth of what happened there, but at the end of the day, there's been a lot of nonsense going on in that organization, and maybe they finally have it right around him. But I think it is reasonable to say that this is a team, if you just look at the names on the backs of the jerseys, there's a lot of good players there. And if he can't get it done, it's going to be someone else's job next year because they've got a team that I think they are right to be thinking championship thoughts.
Yeah, the previous regime did not trust Tua for whatever reason. They didn't trust him to stretch the ball downfield. Mike McDaniels has emboldened him. He does trust him, and they've surrounded him with everything that he needs to get it done right now.
So that's one very interesting situation. There are many more. Fowler, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of other stories.
Let's do it.
And a very important one involving Matthew Stafford.
Yep, I'm getting the football to get loose here. We're going to run the little end around, a little no huddle here. So Matthew Stafford, he had the elbow issue, rested a ton, but there is optimism, I'm told, that they're really not overly concerned about this. They might have to manage him a little bit week to week, make sure he's not overthrowing. But Stafford himself said, look, it's game week. I'm good to go. No major issues here. And so he's really going to throw every day this week. Mm-hmm. He could throw 50, 60 balls in a practice, and they're not going to restrict him. But you can see some veteran days off here and there, just to make sure that this is not a major issue.
Sure.
Now we're going to switch it up here. We got the Steelers QBs. Mike Tomlin could announce a starter any moment. It's expected to be Mitchell Trubisky. He's taken most of the first team reps with the wide receivers back since April. But Tomlin, he's never done this before. He could surprise. Kenny Pickett acquitted himself well. Tomlin typically addresses the media on Tuesday around noon. You could suspect an announcement maybe before or around then. We shall see. Maybe he'll use the tactical advantage to not name anybody all week. And then we got Darren Waller on the contract front. This is heating up. Darren Waller and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, hope to get a deal done by week one. They are actively negotiating right now, hoping to work towards something. So the Raiders' plan is to offer him multiple years on his contract. He already has 2 years left, non-guaranteed money. So they want to put 3 more years on that, let him retire a Raider. He's 29 years old. He could play the next 4 to 5 years in the silver uniform.
But I need you to get this thing done for me because I got Derek Carr as my fantasy quarterback, and I'm counting on my Raiders pick. I need you to get – Waller is a huge piece of that puzzle.
I'll
I need you to get that done.
I'll get that done for you.
I need him in camp. I need him happy. I need everything working out. All right, all of that in, and we have not even gotten to the thriller of the – wait till you see how this game ended last night in the WNBA semifinals. Aces and Storm, series locked at one game apiece. Fourth quarter, 7 seconds to go. Aces, Chelsea Gray inbounds. Asia Wilson, look at the moves. The spin, it's up and good. Aces a 1-point lead. Storm a timeout, less than 3 seconds to go. Gabby Williams, to the ageless one. The legendary Sue Bird, corner three, and she's got it. The crowd going crazy. The Storm with a 2-point lead. 1.8 seconds remaining. Off the timeout, the inbound. Jackie Young. You can't execute this any better. Up and good, and we're going to overtime. Take another look at the perfect play at the end of regulation. Just beating the buzzer to overtime we go, and it was all aces from there. Up by 6, Jackie Young driving, looking for Gray. Gray, 29 points, 12 assists. Aces win 110-98. They take a 2-1 series lead in the WNBA semifinals. Coming up, time running out on Lamar and the Ravens. Was he back on Twitter yesterday? Yes, he was. What did it mean? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.